You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on social media on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. 331-979-1369 is the place to drop us a text or a voicemail. Whenever you're listening to the show, wherever you're listening to the show, drop us a voicemail or a text message there. Matt, welcome back. We've got, I don't know, 3+ hours worth of content from this week's firing of Fred Hoiberg to Jim Boylan and all the quotes coming out, plus all the Bulls fans' reactions. So we dropped 4 episodes, all 30 to 45 minutes long. Bulls reactions, the reactions from us, John Paxson's media tour. So make sure if you didn't check out any of those episodes earlier this week, you go check those out. But what's going on, Matt? How you doing?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Feels weird that we didn't have a game last night and we don't have a game tonight. It's like, seems like for the first time this season, it's like the schedule is a little quiet. And then, of course, that just means we've got another Friday, Saturday back to back on deck. So I feel like everybody, for the most part, was excited to see what changes, if any, happened with Boylan in their first game with him at the helm. And certainly we saw more defensive intensity and effort. We saw a slower paced game. We saw a lower scoring game. And so now I think we're kind of all eagerly waiting to see what happens next and to see how the Bulls navigate this back-to-back against two pretty strong opponents in OKC and Boston on Friday and Saturday. Because that seems to be the talk of Bulls Nation right now, is people wondering what kind of changes and how severe will the changes be for this Bulls team with Boylan running it, especially on the offensive end, based on some of the comments we've already heard him make.
Yeah, the comments like, we're old school, we get on the line, there's no shortcut to conditioning, we're going to do it every single day. Like, that might be just Boylan putting his foot down, kind of letting his presence be known as head coach in the first week. But Matt, comments like that are like running guys into the ground, making them do gassers after a long night. Like, those types of things I don't think are going to necessarily last with guys in the NBA. Like, these guys are professionals. I don't think that type of college-y high school mentality is going to play for a long time with guys, you know, and I don't expect him to continue to press the gas on things like this, but maybe this is just him establishing himself, but I can't see guys buying into this long-term.
I mean, we'll see. Obviously, there are concerns about the way that this young core had been taught to play offensively in Hoiberg's system, which finally started to have maybe some of the right pieces to run what Fred wanted to run. I, you know, and to me, Boylan's comments about needing to slow things down because they need to get the fundamentals of their offense right before they can really run. And look, like to some degree, I see what Boylan is talking about. And I don't think this Bulls team really has the discipline to play a run and gun style in a way that is efficient enough to outrun and gun other teams across the league who are playing that kind of style of ball right now. So, you know, you heard Boylan cite Greg Popovich, you know, his tutor and mentor, and making defenses guard you for all 24 seconds of a shot clock in a way that Pop likes to run his offense with a lot of passing, a lot of ball movement. And we saw some glimpses of that in their first game under Boylan earlier this week. But you wonder just how consistently this young team will be able to execute the way that Boylan wants them to. And if slowing things down will perhaps like take away from some of the offensive efficiency of certain guys. And in particular to me, I worry about Zach LaVine and whether or not he can continue to be the rapid scorer that we have come to see through the first, you know, quarter of this season, if Boylan has them really slowing things down on that end.
Yeah, it's going to force Zach LaVine to be a better distributor, a better ball handler. And I know that his usage has been super high with, you know, during Fred Hoiberg's era when Lauri Markkanen was out even this season through the first 25 games or so. Like, I imagine that's going to come down a little bit, and you might see Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr.'s usage go up, because I was reading back through old quotes from his time with the Pacers, quotes from Frank Vogel and quotes from Greg Popovich, just kind of talking about Jim Boylan. And the year after he got fired from Utah, he went to the Pacers bench, was an assistant there. And the one thing that I caught my eye was Frank Vogel said that Jim Boylan is a genius when it comes to post spacing. So that immediately made me think, okay, well, if he still's got some of that genius post spacing, then that's a good thing for this Bulls team. We've got two guys on this team that we're trying to build this entire thing around that should spend a lot of their time in the post, one specifically in Wendell Carter Jr. And then the spacing with everything else with Lauri Markkanen, I think, can only help. So hearing quotes on that were good for me. Those are positives. And I think this team does need a new voice and a new outlook and something fresh. But I just, some of the quotes have been throwing guys back to the mid-90s. Like Zach LaVine even mentioned it about the score the other night against the Pacers. He's like, I felt like I was in a mid-90s game. And then Bobby Portis even had a quote too saying, like, he reminds me a lot of my college coach, Mike Anderson. So I'm very curious to see if that type of mentality will respond to players, because some players do respond to things like that. Jimmy Ball responds to coaching like that. Some other players don't. So I'm going to see who's up to buy into what Jim Boylan's doing and who's going to maybe buy in for a little bit and then end up tuning it out. You know who I think that might end up getting tired of this whole thing? It's going to be the guy we signed this summer.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Jordan, because Darnell Mayberry, our friend who covers the Bulls for The Athletic, did another great piece kind of detailing a lot of what Boylan did in the transition over the last 36 hours or so, taking over this team or preparing them for their first game with him at the helm. He spoke at length in that column about how all season long so far, after Jabari Parker kind of clashed with Fred, and there was Fred benching Parker during the preseason, and the fact that those two maybe didn't have a great relationship, that Jim Boylan has become like the Jabari Parker whisperer. And if you go back and watch some of these Bulls games from the first part of the season, anytime Parker was coming off the floor after, you know, during a timeout, or came off the floor after being subbed out, after being on the court for a stint, it was not Fred Hoiberg, but it was Jim Boylan who was talking in Jabari's ear, either, pumping him up after making a good play, or coaching on him and giving him a bit of a hard time after he made a mistake. And that Parker has seemed to respond to Jim Boylan's coaching more so than he ever did with Fred. And Parker has already advocated for Boylan, not necessarily taking sides. He was careful in his comments about Fred's firing, but essentially even before Fred got fired earlier this season, Parker was praising Jim Boylan's coaching. So I see what you're saying with, I don't know how long certain guys will buy into Boylan, who is going to be harder on them than Fred ever was, but But it sounds like, according to Darnell Mayberry, that Parker and Boylan have a great relationship so far.
Front office has to love that. And I don't know if it'll last, and maybe if he can get the best out of Parker, that's great for this season. But, man, I don't want it to find a way to entertain any idea of picking up that option next year. I don't know. I think about his relationship up in Milwaukee with Kidd. Like, him and Kidd didn't get along. Kidd used to get on him a ton. And, look, I've said it before, even when Parker signed here before when he played in Milwaukee, I said that I felt like kind of Jason Kidd victimized him a little bit, made him do things that he wasn't comfortable doing, and he's having to do that again this year. But I think more so playing to Jabari's strengths recently has helped him a little bit. And maybe he can. Maybe he's got that edge to be able to tap into whatever Jabari needs in order to take that next step. And maybe he is the guy to do that. But I'm just saying, like, the front office has to love that. And maybe that they saw that and they knew that all along. And so that kind of plays into my theory of, like, they couldn't get the best out of the guy that they signed, so they want to feel as right as possible about trying to fix Jabari. And that's not the main reason, but that plays a factor into this whole entire switching coaches, and I think that plays a small factor into it. It's surprising, and I shouldn't be surprised by the fact of you saying that kind of Jabari's on board for Boylan going forward. So.
Well, and like the thing that's really ironic and just like just really laugh out loud funny about this whole situation is that the guy who's getting Jabari Parker to conform and to fall in line and to be a team guy after his very rocky entrance to the Chicago Bulls organization, and the guy that John Paxson feels very comfortable with as being the right guy to replace Fred and kind of, righten the ship and tighten up some of the rules for this young team, is a guy who operates basically in the exact same way as Tom Thibodeau, who they kicked out of town because he was too hard on his players. I mean, I think they replaced Fred with Tom Thibodeau 2.0, a defensive-minded coach who is going to run them ragged at practice, who's going to bark at them when they mess up, and do all the, I mean, even just the, like how similar Boylan behaves and looks to Tom Thibodeau when he's on the sideline coaching. And he's like in a defensive stance running up and down the sideline. And there was a Justin Holliday quote in that Darnell piece that I mentioned a minute ago saying, oh, yeah, what's the difference? What's the big difference? Well, Jim's loud. How would you describe Jim? Jim's loud. You can hear him when you're playing on the down on the other end from our bench. This is Tom Thibodeau 2.0. And they fired Tom Thibodeau because he was too hard on his players and replaced him with Fred, who they thought would be more of a nice guy who could get along with his players and be a player's coach. It's like the levels of irony are just ridiculously thick.
It is pretty funny. Do you think that this way that he's going to coach now, slowing things down with this team, you know, he had mentioned the score before, and he's like, if you can hold a team to 96 points and hopefully score 100, then you're going to win a game. That's obvious math. That's basketball 101. But I understand what he's saying when limiting the other team in scoring and trying to slow things down and not play games where you're trying to just go back and forth on the floor, shooting up as many shots as you can and end up in a game 135 to 130. So I get that, but the mentality and the way that this NBA is going is like, the NBA is zigging and the Bulls are zagging again. And they've done this before where they go the complete opposite route of what the NBA is doing. And we saw that how that worked out 2 years ago for the Bulls, and it didn't. So I don't know if it's going to work, and maybe it is. Like, I look at the Memphis Grizzlies, who play at the slowest pace in the entire NBA. It's kind of shocking how good they are this year because they play so slow. They slow everything down and they just grind you on defense. They've got grinders in the post. So maybe in some capacity that can work. Man, they were playing two centers at the same time. They were playing Noah and Gasol at the same time last night. It's wild. But maybe Boylan can tap into whatever Memphis is deciding to do. But look, Memphis has got far more talent than the Bulls do. So there's another piece to that.
Yeah, people are panicking about Boylan taking the Bulls back to the Stone Age offensively. And I understand where that worry is coming from based on what we've heard Jim Boylan say about what he plans to do with this team offensively. And those concerns and those worries are valid. To me, it's not necessarily about do you play fast or do you play slow, although certainly analytics recently trend towards showing that teams that play fast have higher offensive efficiency, have more points per possession and all that kind of stuff. But with this team, this young, inexperienced team that has certain valid questions about player basketball IQ and player efficiency and Boylan saying things about LaVine needing to be a much more efficient player on the offensive end. I mean, do you want to lose 125 to 115 or do you want to lose 96 to 90? Because, like, either way, whether the Bulls want to play fast or play slow, like a Memphis team that's kind of going against the grain but still having a fair amount of success this season, it is about efficiency. Either way, it's about efficiency, and there are real worries about whether or not this Bulls team, as young and inexperienced as they are, and with some of the one-way players they have, can operate at a high efficiency. And we have not seen that through the first quarter of the season under Fred. I don't know if we will see it under Boylan.
Even with all the injuries, and obviously the Bulls are going to sit lower as far as points per game, team totals, but I'm just looking at team totals, like 15 NBA teams this year are scoring 110 points or more on a nightly basis. That's wild. That's the top team right now is the Milwaukee Bucks. They're scoring 121 points on average a night. So
that's insane.
I can see how the Bulls would be able to stay in games like that, but are you really just masking the problems too? Like, instead of slowing it down and getting guys to get more efficient shots, I can understand that, and that's a positive. I'm cool with that. But at the same time, slowing it down to make it look less ugly, is that what we're trending towards, going towards? Because that's kind of the feeling that I'm getting, and I'm hoping it's not. I'm hoping it's an all of a sudden a transition and this team plays decent defense and starts getting more efficient offensive shots. But just the way the NBA is trending doesn't necessarily make me buy into what Boylan wants eventually from this Bulls team.
No, I think you're absolutely fair to be skeptical of it. It's going to be about, is this Jim Boylan saying, all right, at first, let's slow the things down to make sure that we're doing the fundamentals right? Because he said his keys that he was really going to focus on taking over for Fred were defensive rebounding and transition defense. And we did see a more considered effort there, even in his first game. Markkanen talked about how when he had his little one-on-one with Boylan after he was named Fred's successor, that he was talking to Markkanen, not about what he wants to see from him offensively this season, but being an improved defensive player and an improved defensive rebounder. And we saw LaVine going up and getting defensive rebounds on Tuesday night. So there's that, but then on the offensive end, Boylan saying things like, you know, we got to slow things down a little bit because I'm worried about our offensive efficiency and making the right passes and setting good screens and just getting back to the basics and the fundamentals of playing the right way. And Paxson echoed some of those sentiments as well. So, you know, I'm not ready after one game to judge whether or not Boylan is going to grind this Bulls offense to a halt or is really just trying to get them to fix some of the problems with their fundamentals and needing to slow the game down a bit to do that. And then once he feels better about this young team limiting their turnovers, limiting their bad offensive possessions because they've slowed it down a bit, then getting out and running. Because Boylan did also say there will be opportunities for us to get out and run and play with some pace. Because, like, I don't think Boylan's an idiot. I think he knows where the league is trending. But I think he's focused on trying to fix some problems right now. And it's easier to fix those problems if you slow things down a little bit to see where those problems are.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's just Boylan being Boylan, because, you know, we've said he's got a personality, and a lot of coaches have said that he's kind of that comic relief for a lot of places. The Pacers, Frank Vogel said the same thing. The people in Utah have said that he's a guy that likes to crack jokes, and we've heard it before. We've played sound bits already from him at Utah, so maybe that's what it is. He's just feeding media kind of what they want to hear. And I think you're right, and I'm willing to wait this out. I think if we're hearing the same types of sentiments right now in late February, March, then I've got some problems, right? If you're hearing the same things that we're doing right now in February or March, I'm going to start to be a little bit more concerned. But you're right. Maybe he does want to tear it down and rebuild it all the way back up. Here's a quote from him. But I think before you become trendy, you've got to be basic. You've got to understand the basics, and we're going to try and do that. And the one person, going back to LaVine, I think he's going to be the person that I watch the most. You know, Lowry's still got a lot of development. Wendell Carter Jr.'s got a lot of development. But Zach's in his fifth year with his fifth different coach now. And I'm waiting to see if that light bulb all of a sudden turns on and he does what he's trying to say. And here's a quote from him too. I'm all for winning, man. Whatever I've got to do. It's not like I'm going to change my aggressiveness to score the ball, but a game like Tuesday, if I have to take 10 shots through three quarters, then try and get it going in the fourth, I'll do that. We're in the game the entire time, so I'm going to do what I have to do to win. I'm fine with that, and I want to see him to continue to do that, but shots like he took against San Antonio, shots like he took that three-pointer late against the Pacers, don't necessarily back up those types of statements. And maybe that's just comes from growth. And I'm fine with being patient this season and waiting to see if that actually happens. And I hope it does, because this has got to be tough on Zach too. Five coaches in 5 years, that's difficult.
Yeah, I hadn't even really thought about it like that. But yeah, that's a lot of coaching turnover for a young player. And when it comes to Zach, like I think in the meantime, if he can really, buy in and trust what Boylan's trying to accomplish, as far as just slowing things down to eliminate mistakes and getting them to do the fundamentals the right way, and you know, fight through that process, then there will be a point later this season where Zach's allowed, to just take a green light, take the keys and run. And run this offense. I truly believe that will come back in time. In the meantime, Zach might have to slow things down a little bit, and that might be frustrating for him. But simultaneously, Boylan, as I think I mentioned a bit earlier, is really wanting to see a highly efficient Zach LaVine, which we've seen at times this season, or certainly to begin the season, when he was scoring 25 to 30 points on a limited number of shots per game and was really attacking the basket and getting to the free throw line. Because the Bulls were so shorthanded, defenses started to really just collapse on LaVine anywhere he was on the floor, anytime he got the ball, and so his numbers have sagged a bit. You're getting Markkanen back. LaVine has made an effort to get Markkanen involved, to get Markkanen shots up. That's, that's fine by me, but Jim Boylan was saying, when he was asked about how can the Bulls only take five free throw attempts in that game against the Pacers on Tuesday, he said, you got to get a little bit tougher before you start to earn those calls. We're not very tough. We got to get tougher right now. Clearly, Boylan will be looking to Zach, and Zach said as much when he had his meeting with Boylan. He said, Boylan told me, you got to keep attacking the basket. You got to get to that free throw line. Because if you go look at the trend of Bulls, like the games when the Bulls have been in it and either managed to get a win or have stayed competitive, usually that involves LaVine getting to the free throw line close to 10 times and knocking down most of his free throws. So I think it was just like a random blip. I don't think it was something to worry about that he didn't get to the free throw line at all on Tuesday, because his focus was more so on marketing and distributing and playing that facilitator role. But make no mistake, Boylan still wants LaVine to be the aggressive, hard charging guy who's going to attack the basket and get to the free throw line.
You know who I'm pretty excited for to come back and who I think Jim Boylan low-key could get the most out of, and he's already praised him a ton, is Bobby Portis. So Boylan said Bobby Portis is the ability to raise the level of your practice, which is something we need. He's got a great soul, a great spirit for the game.
Chris, Nico joke here, right?
Yeah, right. I was waiting for those to fly yesterday, and they were in handfuls. He followed that up, too, with another guy that I think that he can tap into is Chris Dunn. Chris is so superior athletically, it just changes the way you look right off the bat. I'm hoping we can get them back soon. So, Bobby kind of seems like, he gravitated towards Mike Anderson when he was at Arkansas. And I think now, he's learned the bounce and how to get his offensive game right. And now we've got a defensive coach, a guy that's going to grind you. And I'm excited to see what maybe Boylan does with Portis in an important year for him. Same thing with Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn is a defensive monster, and that's what we've been missing. And him plus Carter, I think, is going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun to watch. I think we're going to see a lot of defensive stops, and this Bulls team be better sooner rather than later. So those two guys, I think, are my dark horses as far as to watch and see how they go. And I think he can tap into Bobby Portis, and he can tap into Chris Dunn. And let's see if Chris Dunn can repeat the same type of offensive successes that he had in stretches last year. Because frankly, we haven't seen him. He's been on and off the floor for the last 2 years. So I'm hoping he can tap into both of those guys. And that's going to help Markkanen, LaVine and Carter, who've got more of the natural ability than anybody else offensively.
I think when it comes to Bobby and Dunn and getting those guys back, and you know, they had a healthy practice with the Windy City Bulls. Now they're practicing with their Bulls teammates, and you know, sometime next week or maybe the week after, those guys are going to be back in that rotation. Which, when it comes to Bobby, will certainly mean the end of Robin Lopez and Felicio getting minutes, you would think. But like, as far as what this team is trying to do right now and what Paxson said the problem is and the problem they're trying to address with, it's not so much Fred's system that failed. It was Fred not motivating his guys, them not buying in. We started to see some bad habits forming, and that's why we did this now. That's why we pulled the trigger on making the change, because we want some of the bad habits to get switched over into good habits when we have our fully healthy roster. And I can at least accept that logic. And you know, whether or not Boylan turns out to be a guy who's less than inspired and conforming to the norms offensively, from a defensive standpoint and from the energy and spirit standpoint, I think they're going to buy in and follow Boylan. And this is what we were talking about a little bit yesterday. Like, who knows how long that'll last? Sometimes guys, that'll eventually wear on them, the barking out orders kind of coaches like Boylan, like Tibbs. But in the meantime, I think that these Bulls will also be reinvigorated to have two of their leaders back. Bobby, certainly the emotional leader of this team, right? He is the new Joakim Noah for these Bulls. He's the one making hustle plays, screaming after and ones, you know, fighting for rebounds, getting the crowd pumped up. Like, Bobby is this team's heart and soul. Not a doubt about that. Chris Dunn is this team's vocal leader that has been missing. That Wendell Carter Jr. a couple weeks back saying, we don't really have one voice right now. Chris Dunn, not Zach LaVine, needs to be that voice. And hopefully his play can back up him being a leader. And so it's not like an empty voice of someone who's not playing well trying to lead. When it comes to the defensive end, and Jim Boylan's amped up intensity on that end, Bobby's intensity and Chris Dunn's defensive skill and vocal defensive leadership will both probably make this team a much better defensive team. I'm not saying that they're all of a sudden going to be one of the better defensive teams in the league. They still clearly have their holes, and we know who those holes are. But, man, I can't wait to get those guys back, because I think it's combined with Boylan and his voice, it's going to be a big difference.
Yeah, we're going to find out who's going to be tough enough to withstand this, too, because somebody had asked Chris Dunn about fielding a question in regards to, can Jim Boylan install toughness into these guys? And he followed it up with, you can't just install toughness into people, but they can play harder. They can definitely play tougher. But when it comes to toughness, I think you're born with it. Either you've got it or you don't. So we're going to find out in the next couple of months here who's on board and who's got the toughness and the strength, and see if Boylan can actually ring out some of that energy and some of that effort that has been so much lacking in the first 25 games of this season. So you're right, Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis, I'm excited to see them come back. And you know, if barring no setbacks, I would say probably sometime next week is a timetable to be safe, and maybe potentially sooner. Like, Lauri Markkanen came back sooner than we all thought, so the sooner the better, I think, because if we're thinking about Friday, which they're probably not coming back Friday, but Oklahoma City is coming into town, and they are one of the best defensive teams this year so far, coming off a win against Paul George, dropping 40+. That team has been pretty good, even though Russell Westbrook has been booty so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, did you see Paul George's game last night?
Yeah, it was nice. Whew, real nice.
My goodness. He put up like 23 in the fourth quarter, came back from an 18-point deficit. Including the game-winning three against Brooklyn. Like, dude, that game was awesome. OKC is a fun team. I think people were a little surprised when Paul George made his very firm and decisive announcement when he was at the club with Russ that night that he was going to stay in OKC and see this thing through. And, you know, the West is so jumbled up and crazy right now, and we're kind of waiting for the Warriors to get themselves figured out and healthy and all back together to run away with it. And I think that still will happen. But in the meantime, there have been some fun stuff going on with Western Conference teams, and it'll certainly be a challenge trying to slow them down. And we'll see. Like, can Boylan and this Bulls defense hold that Oklahoma City team to under 100 points, like they held the Pacers to under 100 points. Because, like, yes, it was nice to see an added level of defensive intensity, which, you know, in turn made the Bulls so gassed that they ran out of steam in the second half and their offense fell apart because they didn't have any legs under them. But, it, like, holding a Pacers team playing without Victor Oladipo to under 100 points is only so impressive, right? Like, it was nice to see. Right. But now, like, here's a real test. You got an OKC team with a healthy Paul George who's balling, with a healthy Russell Westbrook. Can you hold those guys to under 100 points? That's a much bigger test that we'll find out about tomorrow night.
The next six games, Bulls play the Thunder and the Celtics this weekend. Then they host the Kings on Monday. I would imagine in somewhere in this three-game stretch or right before the Bulls head on the road for three games against the Magic, Spurs, and Thunder late next week that we'll see Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis, barring no injury, no setbacks, no other injuries pop up. But yeah, it's going to be a difficult weekend. Even though as much as the Celtics have struggled, they still come into town with a whole hell of a lot of talents. The Thunder have been one of the best teams so far this season, and the Kings have played really well too on Monday, so that's no easy task as well. So Bulls got an uphill battle, so we'll find out. But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Drop us a text message. Drop us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.